and in a few bleeding heart liberals, together with devoted intelligent and intuitive and imaginative artists, and perceptive, thank you. And if you have that, you can attract the money necessary to do the job. Somebody asked me, well, the whole business is grantsmanship, in fact, the business is money. Do you start with the money, or do you start with the idea? Do you start with the activity? And you always start with the art, the activity, the project, the idea. If you have a good idea, the money will follow. If you have a rotten idea, you've got to be a very good salesman. This session is beginning. If those people out in the reception area will please come on in. The video room or the media room will be open for the next 3 days. So don't worry if you think you've missed it all. Would you open up that door, in fact, and we'll let those people in there still around here. Thank you very much for all coming. Will those of you in the media room please join us in the main room? Jerry Bryant, Randall Ackford.
About who the state council is and what it is and what do we do, and this is a natural time for this type of thing to come out to as large a group as we can, get the information out to, and then hopefully we'll take it back to others in the community. But two things. First, I would like for this session to be a little more casual than the other European address session. I want you to feel very comfortable to ask questions at any time. I would also like to assure you that this is going to be a very cursory version of what we are and what we do. We're not going to go on and on and on for hours because we could. We do an awful lot, but just like your own organization, you take a long time to go in depth. So this is just supposed to be a brief summary of what we do and who we are. And to start out, oh, so please feel free at any time to ask the questions, unless you would rather hold them until the end. There will be a regular forum to do that. I'd like to ask John to narrate a slide presentation that will give you just a brief summary on the State Council. And then afterwards, I'm going to introduce you to the various council members and tell you just a little bit about the council itself. So John, if you would, brief slide presentation.
Thank you, Madam. This slideshow, by the way, is not a complete rendition of the whole Arts Council. We don't have council members, for example, that are here in person. But to give you an idea of where we have the offices, just north of downtown Anchorage, the offices of the Alaska State Council on the Arts are located in the Bayview Building at 619 Warehouse Avenue, Suite 220. Wait a minute. Alright, our office is on the second floor of the building, and visitors to the office will be greeted by receptionist Karen Hoyt. Or by Diane. No? By Caroline Love. Hi, Caroline. Okay. Let's start over again. This production is not brought to you by the Alaska Reservoir. Caroline was just after Diane first. Hi, Karen. There's been a real change in the office jewelry since this governor's award ceremony. I've never seen so much beadwork. Wonderful. It's gorgeous. Tonight, as you may all know, the governor's arts award will be made. And Lily Henry of Galena and her daughter Madeline Kroll are the two artists who have designed these beautiful Athabascan beadworks that will be presented to the Governor's Award winners. Just north of downtown Anchorage. Actually, that's my office right up there, and I have one of the nicest views in the entire world. It's just gorgeous. I have watched hoarfrost. 2 or 3 inches thick on the wires that time. Karen Hoyt will greet you and Caroline Love may be pulling out an old grant file. Caroline Love is our administrative assistant who works for the travel grants, many workshops, and other grants activities. Well, that's all right. Let's just keep on going. Go ahead. I won't have all the pennies right. How did that happen anyway? We'll talk about that at the staff meeting. Caroline Love. One of the main services of the Arts Council is to provide technical assistance, as Diane Burt. Staff members provide information and assistance to Alaska residents through phone call, by answering letters, and sometimes by visiting communities throughout the state to assist with programs, grants, projects, and projects. Bill McCrory, our fiscal officer for the council, handles all accounting transactions. Cindy Smith, the council's grants officer, is in charge of all the grants programs, working most closely with project grant applications and organizational support grantees. Just down the hall, wait a minute, Susan Jones directs the traditional Native Arts program. And just down the hall from our main offices, you'll now find Georgia Blue, who's recently joined us as director of the Contemporary Arts Bank. Deputy director for the council is Jake Jacobson. Jake is also the staff member who fields most inquiries in the performing arts. Where's your deputy star, Jake? Christine Darcy is the visual arts director. And John Blaine is going to be on there pretty quick. Okay, are we okay? There he is. This is John Blaine's former image. Now his new image at this meeting. All right. Susie Jones directs the Traditional Native Arts Program. As I said earlier, one part of the Council's technical assistance program is to send staff members to Alaskan communities to provide on-site consultation and advice. And this is Susie Jones, believe it or not, in Savunga, meeting soon with the Savunga Comedy Players. Another important service of the State Arts Council is to serve as an information resource on the arts. One of the ways we do this is through a variety of publications. A monthly newsletter, the bulletin, is sent free to anyone upon request. And arts organizations wishing to submit news for the bulletin may do so by sending to our office by the 5th of the month prior to publication the news they wish to print. We don't print everything we receive. We reserve the right to withhold service from anyone. We do, in fact, try to print those things that do have some statewide justification and involvement. Other Arts Council publications include Collection, a catalog of works that are in the Alaska Contemporary Art Act and will be available here at the conference for people who don't have this publication. Finding the Boundaries, on sale for $5 at the museum here in town and other places in the state, is an anthology of poetry and short stories, which were chosen from entries in two statewide writing competitions sponsored by the Council a few years ago. Walking Ink is a volume of children's poems written during Poets in the Schools residency in Alaska. And one of our most recent publications is a handbook on Percent for Art, Compliance in Rural Schools, a guide for schools wishing to commission public art for their new buildings. The Council also provides information on the arts through sponsoring conferences and workshops. Last year, the Council sponsored Seeing with a Native Eye, a conference on Native Arts and Cultural Heritage programming in Alaska. This year, we're sponsoring Heard It All, a statewide conference to discuss the issues that confront us as we seek to develop resources for the arts in the 80s. As a way of recognizing the significant contributions made in the arts by Alaskans and Alaska organizations, Council each year recommends nominees to the governor to receive the governor's award for the arts. And each year, the Council commissions an Alaskan artist to create original works of art to be presented as the award. This year's awards are a series of beadwork pieces created by Lily Henry and her daughter, Madeline Kroll. Last year, if you remember, the first Governor's Art Award that was direct commissioned an artist was by Anchorage artist Pat Austin, fragment from The Great Dream. It was an etching done in a very small edition. 1975, the Council initiated the Alaska Contemporary Art Bank. The Art Bank supports Alaskan artists through the purchase of their work while it places high-quality works in state offices. Here you see one corner of the Art Bank filled with crates used to ship Art Bank pieces. These next few slides are to give you some idea of the variety and quality of the work in the Art Bank collection. This is a painting by Joan Demura, and a work by Keith Apple of Anchorage, painting by Carol Winner, and a Juno scene by Ken DeRue. A recent painting by Spence Darren, and a work by Alvin Amison, who was this year asked to paint an Easter egg for the White House. Said he did it, didn't mean anything about his politics. And one by Sharon Lobaugh, works for the Art Bank are acquired in two ways, from statewide jury shows in Alaska and through recommendations from acquisition panels. All works are by living Alaskan artists. Here you see a painting by Kevin Mullet, and a watercolor by Sitka artist Linda Larson. A painting by Jim Evanson, and a watercolor by Doc Bartison of Seward, and Terry Jo Hedman's Sandhill Crane. Comfortably Hot by Bill Brody. Let's try it again. This is Dream Circle Sky, by Susan McGrath. The other bank also has a number of works by Alaskan photographers. Here you see a color photo by Clark Mishler. And here a work in black and white by Jim Barker of Bethel. A Sitka Street Scene by Scott Chambers. And Fourth of July by Ron Klein and Juno. Art bank works are available to state officers for a period of 1 year with no charge to the borrowing agency. Ceramic pieces in the art bank include this sculpture by Dan Steahan and this work by Gary Marks of Anchorage. Sculpture in metal by Bob Pissenmeyer and a piece by Fred Anderson. The art bank has a collection of Alaska Native masks, including this three-dimensional piece by Kathleen Carlo of Fairbanks, here with us today. Self-portrait by Carmen Quinto Funker. A Nunavak-style puppet mask by Harry Shaving. And this contemporary mask by Jim Schopert is also here. Fiber works in the art bank include this piece by Paula Dickey, and she's here too, and the work of Fran Reed at Fairbanks, a large wood and fiber piece by Michael Schatz, and a felt on fiber work by Vivian Poole. Another visual art service the council can provide is through a cooperative arrangement with the Department of Transportation to implement the state's Percent for Art legislation. The next slide shows Gary Marks installing this new piece at the Anchorage International Air Terminal, and there will be a public opening. The International Air Terminal here in Anchorage will have the public invited in June. There are three major works of art located there. This is an air terminal, and it's a mobile by Seth Seiderman. Dana Bussard will also have a series of 14 pieces out of fiber that are not yet installed in the building. There's going to be a bar underneath down there, a central line. Since 1978, about $900,000 has been spent on 70 works of art in public buildings and schools throughout the state. The Percent for Art law requires that a percentage of construction costs of state buildings be spent to commission or purchase artwork for the building. This is a tile work by ceramicist Polly Lee of Petersburg. It is installed in the Fairbanks International Air Terminal. And this Percent for Art piece is an aluminum sculpture by Gerald Conaway. This is a series of works by Bill Kimura for the Public Safety Building in Fairbanks. This is one of a series of watercolors Doc Bartison created for a Percent for Art commission. And a fiber piece by Joan Kimura. It's a painting on a different form. It's a painting by Joan Kimura on the University of Alaska campus in Anchorage. Looks like it could be. Okay, sorry, Joe. Fountain sculpture by Bill Kimura, also at the University of Alaska, Anchorage campus. These three slides show Charlotte Van Zandt at Fairbanks working on a fiber piece for the Ketchikan Pioneer Home. And this is a cedar panel with a traditional clinker design carved by Nathan Jackson for the Auk Lake University campus just out of Juneau. Here you see a mural by Lynn Wiley being installed on the side of a Custicum Community College building in Bethel. And these banners by Heidi Snow hang in the Caddy Ice Rink in Fairbanks. And this work by Larry Kirkland is installed in the building on the University campus of Anchorage. Council maintains a file of color slides showing all completed Percent for Art works, and also several slide tape presentations which are available on loan to school districts and to local art groups. A relatively new council program is the traditional Native Arts program, The goals of this program are to support and encourage both the maintenance and the preservation of the traditional arts of Alaska's Native people. In 1981, the council sponsored a statewide competition and a traveling exhibit of Native art, and this work by Kathleen Cardo won one of the jurors' awards in the Wood, Ivory, and Bone competition. Other pieces in Wood, Ivory, and Bone were this mosquito mat by Fred Anderson, and a raven frontlet by Nathan Jackson of Ketchikan, and this loon mat by Edward Gilpin of Bethel. This year, the council is assembling an exhibit of Eskimo dolls. These next few slides show the work of doll makers who will be featured in the exhibit with newly commissioned creation. This is a Dolly Spencer doll from the Anchorage Museum. And this doll is a seal gut parka and salmon skin mittens doll by Chinook doll maker Rosalie Haniak. This is the work of another Chinook artist. And this is a St. Lawrence Island doll in traditional rain parka decorated with aqua crest. During the past 12 months, Bernice Tyus has been working on contract for the Arts Council, traveling to many villages in Alaska, gathering information on the current needs and available resources in Native Arts programs. This survey is to assist the Council in its long-range planning for the Native Arts, and the report from the survey will be published later on this spring. Technical assistance is an important part of the traditional Native Arts program, and here Paul Tiolana drums for the Wolf Dance, which was presented by the King Island Eskimos this year. The Arts Council worked with Paul and the King Islanders in applying to the National Endowment for the Arts and to the Arts Council for grant funds to produce and videotape the dance. The Traditional Native Arts Program also worked with the Chilkoot Indian Association in securing funding to film a Chilkoot potlatch held in Haines a year ago. The Traditional Native Arts Director also provided assistance in the Consortium of Pacific Arts and Cultures, CPAC, in organizing a week-long symposium of Pacific Rim basket makers, which was held in Anchorage last May. Shown here is Selina Paratovich, a Haida weaver from Ketchikan. Others participating in the symposium included Mata from American Samoa, Balbina Kintaro from the Northern Mariana Islands, Jeanette Trumbly, a Yupik basket maker living in Anchorage, Nick Alexi, fish trap maker from Bethel, and Mary Black from Congiganak. A pilot program of traditional Native arts is the apprenticeship program. In these four slides, you see Bert Ryan studying with master Chimshin carver Jack Hudson in Metlakatla. Noreen George received an apprenticeship to study tanning with Nora Lord of Nenana. And Jeanette Trumbly, shown in the foreground here, apprenticed with Anna Martins of Chidak in grass basketry and mat weaving. One of the ways the council also aids artists directly is through the Individual Artist Fellowship Grant. These awards of up to $5,000 are given to professional artists engaged in the creation of new work. The next few slides are of works of several visual artists who have received fellowships in the past 2 years. This is a work by Lorraine Alba of Anchorage. And this is a piece by metalsmith Jay Green. One by Mariano Gonzalez. Painter Dan DeRue. Sculptor Bob Fitzenmeyer, a work in mixed media by Deborah Norrie, a watercolor by Randy Rutherford, painting by Susan Ogle, sample of Tony Ruby's work, and again Alvin Amison, and Fairbanks artist Tess Woodward. This is a fiber piece by fellowship winner Susan LeBrand. And this is a poem by by John Morgan, one of the writers who received an individual artist fellowship. Composers and playwrights have also received fellowships, but we have no slides of their work. Our grants program, most familiar to many of you, is the Project Support Grants Program. Project grants are made to nonprofit organizations for arts projects in their community. Last year, the council awarded about $1 million in project grants. The council also has a program of organizational support grants, which provide operating support to some of the state's larger cultural institutions. Other grant programs include the Community Arts Agency block grants, piano maintenance grants, the workshop grants program, and emergency grants. In the area of performing arts, the council's main program activities are the touring programs through touring performing services and shows to go. These touring programs, administered for the council by Arts Alaska and this year, feature the Western Brass, the Rosenthal, and the Mass Company. One very popular tour brought to Alaska through this program was the Amalan Folk Ensemble, which performed in several communities, including Taktovik and in Juneau. Here, Amalan dancers in the high school gym in Taktovik. Here you see the Amalan dancers in a cross-cultural exchange with Inupiaq dancers during their stay in Taktovik. Jocelyn Young of the Arts Alaska organization coordinates the Artists in Schools program for the council. State Arts Council has placed a high priority on arts and education, and Alaska has a very active and successful AIS program. These four slides are from a recent printmaking residency with artist Julie Bonnet in Puna. Here a class works on a collaborative piece, and two students from Norvik School participate in a residency in jewelry making with artist Art Cunninger. The Artists in the Schools program includes many artistic disciplines such as weaving, and here during the 1975 residency, and here a theater residency in a Bush school in 1973. These students worked with puppeteer Terry Ryder. And in Akiak, we find students involved in mask making. And mine was performing artist Jim Dubbing. This is only a brief overview of the programs and services of the Alaska State Council of the Arts on the arts. For more complete information on council programs, you may wish to consult the information on council programs in Guide to Programs and Services, a brand new publication, which is available to you in your conference packets or from our office. We hope this presentation has made us a little bit more familiar to you, and we're always glad to hear from you and are interested in ways we can be of more service to the arts in this state. Our door is almost always open, and you are invited to visit us in person whenever you're in town. The end. I'd like to thank in particular Susie Jones for putting that together with Jacobson's help, who is also marvelous at moving screens. They've done a wonderful job of making that work. And now I'd like to ask, if I may, council members to come up to the front and take their places in the podium area. While they're arriving up there, I'd like to thank all of you who wrote letters or sent telegrams in this last few weeks and months, either on our regular grant, the amount of money in our budget, or on the Percent for Art program, which also has several people trying to do away with the Percent for Art program. The session certainly isn't over yet, but my understanding is the Percent for Art bill that would do away with it is stuck in the Rules Committee in the House. I hope it's safe.
In your conference packet, packet, there was a, I believe, placed in your conference packet, there was a ask of who we are, what we do page. And it, in essence, there are a couple of things also. I believe there's a summary of the council members with short bios on each of the council members. And they are really brief because each council member that serves has done many, many things in the arts. But we wanted you to get to know us a little better, and rather than take your time in this session, those summaries are good conversational beginning points when you meet the council member and have a better understanding of what they do when they are not volunteering to work with some council. But have you all, have you found this piece of paper that says ask of who we are and what we do? And the reason I'm pointing it out is that in essence it's a nice summary of how we fit into the governmental family. And on the, it also has a brief summary of our budget as it has grown from 1978 to 1983, which is coming up. List the council members, list the committees they serve on, the staff, the advisory panels. It's just sort of a nice summary. On the very back of it, there is our first attempt at showing our family tree. It was a rough draft that was put out at the beginning here, but I hope to have it refined and on a little more well spelled out piece of paper. But if you can see what I mean, it is basically a diagrammatic explanation of where ASCA fits in the government tree, family tree, going from the executive branch, which is what we are under, to feeding that into DOE. We share one of many slots in DOE, but we at least feed on all the peerage level with those. We are not an advisory council, I have just clarified. We got a memo recently saying, you know, are you still a valuable advisory council to DOE? And I said, what? And they clarified it, said, no, we are not an advisory council to DOE, we are indeed a separate entity with answer before that found. That has been a concern when we went from the governor's office into DOE, that we would lose our identity, but I don't think we will. From DOE, we have a state, ASCA is part of that family of DOE, and under that we have a council board, which is first on the council board. We have another leading caucus way, Lance Peterson from Homer, with John Rita from Anchorage, Betty McDonald from Anchorage, that Barbara Susan Seward from Point South, essentially. We have Mary Kay Barfitt, who is currently serving as the vice chairman, well, myself, I'm the only Mary Kay, who's from Paradise. We have Linda Larson from Sitka, Lloyd Malt from Ketchikan, and Stan Zelensky from Fairbanks. And that's with our current board, we are missing two members. We have Rachel Craig normally with us from Pasadena, but she was unable to attend both the conference and the council meeting, which will follow this time. But hopefully we'll be with us this time. And Pat Saylor, who recently resigned, but we presently have a vacancy on the board from the June area. Very quickly, I would like also to bring to your attention something brand new. Finally, we have a compilation of all our programs, which you sort of have summarized in the slideshow. And at the very beginning of it, it basically gives our purpose for our existence and also our mission statement, or that which we feel is our mission. Particularly on the introduction page, the first paragraph, where it basically says that we devote ourselves to the encouragement of excellence in the arts. Our aim is to increase freedom of artistic expression, preservation of our cultural heritage, accessibility, participation, etc. And those are the things which we're using as the basis of our language planning session. One of the ways that we carry out our mandate to serve our constituents, our art constituents, and we have been accused a little bit of not listening to our constituents, But this is one that he has been hearing our constituents, and perhaps by making ourselves more obvious and accessible, we can hear more from our constituents. But believe me, council is very, very open and very listening from the constituents. So please don't be shy. Nobody likes criticism, but if the criticism is not just, you know, sort of tenseness or feverish, if it's constructive, it's very, very welcome. Believe me. I would like to have our council committee chairman within the council structure, which is also in the family tree here. We have a series of committees that deal with most specifically those programs that we have developed or we have to serve our constituency. And underneath each of those committees, we are developing and have developed panels of peer review where we have artists and participators in those art forms who work with us on grants, reading grants, giving us advice, insofar as reviewing those grants, and then also working with us in advisory capacity. Each of those committees and subsequently those panels have the chairman from the committee and from the council itself, and I will introduce each of those chairmen and then ask them to introduce their staff. And since the slideshow is so wonderfully thorough, actually, in summarizing our programs, I would like to ask the staff members that you basically field any questions that there might be, or if there's something in the slideshow didn't quite touch, but not to spend too much more time on development program work with you as a group. I'd like to start with the Education Committee. The chairman of the Education Committee is Stan Zielinski. And what I will do here is have each of the various families we just go down to here introduce their staff members. The staff member will stand and go over any more points on their program, and then they'll just move on down automatically.
Yes, I'm chairman of the Education Committee, and I'm really quite pleased to be so because education, as far as I'm concerned, is extremely important. I was pleased to have our keynote speaker endorse that, and John Blaine has made numerous references to it. In fact, there aren't many activities that the Arts Council gets involved with that doesn't have some educational component involved with it. One of the more obvious parts of the Education Committee is the Arts and Schools Program. It is certainly not the only concern we have, because we're interested in education in the broadest possible sense. But very specifically, one program that is perhaps more obvious than others is the Arts and Schools Program. We're extremely interested in that because, as we all know, the little munchkins grow up and oftentimes become legislators. The person that makes that all possible as far as Arts and Schools is concerned is Jocelyn Young. And yesterday we had a very high-powered workshop that she was responsible for that did an awful lot to help improve that already wonderful program. So I'd like to introduce Jocelyn Young at this point and have her give you 4.5 minutes of exactly what Arts and Schools is all about. Jocelyn Young.
Identifying now, you've got to take a question of the flowers or the way that you want.
Lloyd Malt is serving as a temporary chairman of the Traditional Arts Committee, and he will speak to that for a while.
I've been on the Arts Council for about 6 months, on the Traditional Arts Committee even shorter. The whole Traditional Arts has been in existence for about 2 years. I've been the acting chairman for 6 hours, and I'm going to turn this over to Susie Jones, who does know something about it.
I chair the Performing Arts Committee, and my staff person besides the deputy director is the Jay will be here, and I'd like for you to welcome Nancy Starling, who is also on the program director for those. I'm going to give her 4.5 minutes. Nancy, where are you? To talk to you about the program, Nancy. Chairman of the Visual Arts Committee. We review travel grants and individual artist grants and talk about a lot of ideas for the future of the Visual Arts program. has been voted the person least likely to answer the telephone in the office. Is there? Hopefully. This is a known today. She went to Randall. Or she's in Bethel today. I'm sorry, but she's in Washington, D.C.